Paul, I have to ask you, you watch that replay. Do you believe that Plumlee was supposed to switch off of LeBron? Because what is he doing there? I don't understand. He basically just let Davis go and ran to LeBron, who was already engaged.
That's a mystery to me. Like, I wondered, why did Malone, who's a fantastic coach for the Nuggets, put Plumlee in at all? I didn't get the substitution. And without a timeout, they really didn't appear to have time to put defensive strategy into place, and Plumlee just lost his man, stopped at LeBron, yelled, and Jokic tried to get over there, but Davis had a beautiful rhythm shot that he stepped into. He had just hit the exact same shot just moments before, and nothing but net, and what an exciting finish. Fortunately, it was the absolutely fantastic performance that Nikola Jokic had and just willed the Nuggets in front of the Lakers and put them in a position to win were it not for that unbelievable shot.
And I guess that's where I want to go, Paul. When you know, you're Denver, your top two players played magnificent. You lasted in the last, breath of a game. How do you find any kind of, motivation to move forward thinking that you can play better than you did when you lost?
That's the thing about the Denver team, though, Jason, that I think has been special so far, is they've come back twice from 3-1 because they seem to have real short memories, and they just go out and compete. And this is what I really like about Denver, and it all feeds off Murray and Jokic, of course. But the other night, the Lakers did a real good job of taking away Jokic's passing lanes. Again, in the fourth quarter, but his response was to score. So the Lakers took away his passing, so they gave him a little more of an opportunity to score, and he did. He made difficult shots up to and including a contested three, and then that unbelievable tip-in off Jamal Murray's air ball as the shot clock ran down to give the Nuggets the lead. It was just opportunism and, to your point, Jason, I just think the Nuggets, they just forget and they're just ready to go again, and we'll see if they have enough against what has been a very good Lakers team so far.
Paul Sir joins us. And Paul, the Heat and the Boston Celtics, Heat get up to a 2-0 lead both times. They're down by double digits. They battle back, but Boston didn't allow that to happen in Game 3. What do you make of that series? Have you seen anything from Game 3 that makes you believe the Celtics can do what the Raptors couldn't and come back from an 0-2 deficit?
I do. I think Boston's a good team. Their blow-up that we really don't know a great deal about, other than there were a lot of hot tempers after the second loss, when Boston, they really could be up 3-0 in this series right now. Had they taken care of business and taking care of leads that they had built up through the first three quarters in games 1 and 2. But the Celtics have a couple of things going for them. They really attacked Miami's zone. Brown was fantastic in game 3, but so was Tatum, who's been fantastic throughout the series. And what I like about the Celtics' chances now is the addition of inserting Gordon Hayward back in, because Hayward only had 5 points the other night. But he's a calming, steadying influence. He's another offensive threat, and he's a really good passer. He's another good passer, and he does that better than any of the other substitutions that the Celtics could bring in. So I think their chances are good. I think they're starting to figure Miami out. Now, having said that, Miami's a really tough-minded, very, very good team. Eric Spoelstra will get them turned around. They'll try different things when they face off against Boston tomorrow. But I do think the Celtics have the ability to even the series up tomorrow night.
When you look at the situation with Miami and the play of Jimmy Buckets, and I love that name, by the way, I had no idea how strong he is when he goes to the net. Is he up with LeBron? Because you see him making shots where he's literally getting pushed on, Paul, and he's still able to make the shot with body control. Like, I might just see what I want to see, or what do you see in this player that when he attacks the net specifically?
He's relentless when he attacks the net. I wouldn't put him in LeBron's physical abilities category just because there is nobody like LeBron who's that big and that strong. But Butler is not far off. I put him more in the Kawhi category. You know, that leaner muscle mass. He doesn't have the mass that LeBron has, but he's fearless. And he also has a great sense, not just of how to score, but when to score. And I think that's been what has been, I think, a pleasant surprise for people who haven't seen a lot of Butler before this playoff series and before the series before. They don't realize how tough this guy is and what a competitor he is. The attention over the last couple of years were, you know, his switching teams, his going to Minnesota, and the disaster that was when he left, leaving Philadelphia after less than 1 year. I think that we're getting a good taste of how tough Butler is, but I don't know if he's enough, and they have a lot of youth and inexperience on Miami that might favor a slightly more experienced Celtics. And that's a bit of a stretch on my part, but you know one thing, Butler's going to compete for 48 minutes.
Paul Sir joins us in Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Paul, Billy Donovan out as the head coach of OKC. It's announced he's the head coach in Chicago. He was there for 5 years. The last four, they made the playoffs every year, but they never won a round. But, you know, you look at the West and, you know, you have of course, LeBron James there now. You had the Golden State Warriors in their prime for those years. You know, Houston Rockets, yada, yada, go down the list. You know, OKC, good young team. What do you make of this decision? It sounds like it just came down to they couldn't commit the money or talking about their vision. Like OKC, I know it's kind of a small market team, but they got some good young players there. Is there a coach, do you think, that fits in OKC?
Well, that's a really good question. Of someone who jumps to mind, for instance, of the coaches who are switching teams. Like, I don't think D'Antoni would be a good fit. Paul and D'Antoni really didn't seem to be on the same page. And I'd hate to see a player like Gilgeous Alexander, quite frankly, playing in a D'Antoni system, because D'Antoni just plays a very unique system, and I don't think it fits Gilgeous Alexander that well. I really don't know who it would be, but I think what they would benefit from is a little more experience than what Billy Donovan had. Donovan did just fine, and I think he's making a good move going back to the East. That was a good catch on your part, Jason, because the East isn't as strong. Chicago's committing a lot of money and resources. They have some good young talent that they can build around, and it's a fresh start for Donovan. We'll see where it goes. But I really think the pressure is on in OKC next year to make a bit more of a push. And I don't know that they believe that Donovan was the right guy or that they were willing to re-up him for the kind of money that he was talking about. He did do what I think is his best job this year in coaching the Thunder, who I think played beyond anyone's expectations, largely because of the leadership of Chris Paul and the stellar play of Gilgeous Alexander. So we'll see. I don't have somebody who just jumps off the page. I know what they don't need. They don't need like a Tom Thibodeau or an old school screamer. They need somebody who understands young players and who can take advantage of Chris Paul's experience and leadership in building that team for the future.
You know, obviously the Clippers are out. What are they missing to try to punch into that next category, which would be the Final Four?
I don't know if it's a lobotomy or what it is, but they absolutely stunk it up in their series against Denver. They choked as badly as I've ever seen. I'll tell you what I think they do need. They have an odd combination of leadership. What people, I think, you know, when we look back on last year and Kawhi's magnificent Finals MVP performance, we tend to think it was mostly Kawhi throwing the team on his shoulders, the Raptors on his shoulders, and winning the championship for Toronto. I think that was somewhat dispelled this year by the way that the Raptors play. There was a lot more in play last year for the Raptors than just Kawhi Leonard. I think they had other leaders on the court, most notably Kyle Lowry and his toughness, that also matched Kawhi's quiet toughness. They really didn't have a good chemistry or a good feel this year with the Clippers. Some of the people I know, and I know one fellow in particular who knows the Clippers inside and out, and he does a lot of reporting on them, and he said the locker room was just brutal this year. They did not have good chemistry. Kawhi is quiet. Paul George, jeepers. I mean, Paul George is like Houston to me, the Houston Rockets. You better get over him. Or George has to have some sort of epiphany that he's got to come ready to compete. He was so casual and so cocky up to and including after they lost Game 7, and I think it was a clear indication that this guy doesn't buy into what it takes to win a championship. And so I just think the pieces they need, Jason, to answer your question, they need to get somebody in there that's more impactful. Patrick Beverley's an annoying leader, but he didn't play very well, and it's really tough to lead when you're out there 18 minutes and you score 2 points and you get torched. So I think they've got some soul searching to do. I'm really surprised, quite honestly, that they kept Doc Rivers. I thought it really was time for a change there. Maybe they need new eyes and new leadership. But that would be my assessment of the Clippers.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I was going to ask you about Doc, so you answered my question nicely. Well, Paul, enjoy the game tonight. We'll chat with you next week.
Look forward to it, guys. Thanks. Good talking.